Shut up!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
What Brock Huard says?
No, he's not a friend of mine.
Subscribe to receive every episode at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Ah, we stink, man.
Now, here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
No way!
Do we stink? I don't know if we stink, but it seems like there's a lot of things in the world that do, and thankfully, Brock, we're here to fix all of them.
Well, that's well done right there. Good play.
We're here to fix it all today. That's our job. We'll talk to Kurt Menefee, but before we do that, something new on the Brock and Salk show, or the Brock and Salk podcast show.
The Fixer Upper.
I don't think we've ever done this.
Mm-mm.
Have we ever fixed things together? I mean, see, I have a disadvantage, as you know.
The I'm Not a Handy Award.
Oh, that's the other one. That's the award. Here you go. I meant this one.
You know I'm not necessarily a handy.
Right, as you know.
Thank you, Tony Miner, as well.
Bless your heart, Tony.
Wakamojo.
Wakamojo.
The Paperboy.
That was from another Brock and Salk idea where
right
we gave
room.
Out awards.
Right in this room.
Yeah, that was
right.
Old school.
Yes.
No, but Brock, as you know.
You know I'm not necessarily a handy.
Not necessarily
you ever
a handy.
Fix that door jam, by the way?
I did.
The
yes, he did.
Yeah,
what
I got my
door.
I just don't worry about it. I got it fixed.
Okay.
Longer screws.
Longer screws.
You just went longer screws.
Well, it had to do with unscrewing and rescrewing.
You didn't go the golf tee. You didn't go Gorilla Glue. You
not
didn't
yet.
Go any particle board. Nothing.
And okay. So far, actually, it's held up really well.
Okay.
I mean, eventually it'll need to get fixed again, but
right.
So far it's been okay.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. No, I
think you're a fixer.
Well, that's what we're going to need to do. We're fixer uppers here. I had five things. I think we added a couple more. I think we have seven things
okay.
That we will fix. Here are the rules to the game, though. You have to fix whatever it is in no more than three steps.
Can Howdy play in this?
No.
Come
on. That's how we fix this game. We make sure Howdy doesn't play.
You just guaranteed this game is not going to play.
Fix things in three steps or fewer.
Kyle gets to play.
That's the game. Of
course.
Kyle can always play. Yes. Of course Kyle can play. But not Howdy. That's the rules.
Howdy not playing was part of the fix.
That was fix for the Brock and Salk podcast. Number one, Howdy doesn't play. No, right. That, now we fixed the show. Look at that. All right. Are you ready for fix things, Brock? Fix
I think
seven
so.
Things?
Yes.
All right. Number one, fix the Seahawks. That's generally where we start around here. Let's fix the Seahawks in three steps or fewer. I can give you mine.
Okay.
And then I'd like to hear your fixes. Here's my, I think you could fix the Seahawks in three steps. Number one, add two pass rushers. Meaning Jadeveon Clowney and two pass rushers.
Okay.
Okay? So fix your pass rush. Step two, acquire via the draft or free agency an impact corner or safety. Mm. An impact member of your secondary. I don't care which position he plays, but I need one or the other. I mean, I have other things to do in the draft, et cetera, later down the line. They don't need to be quite as can't miss, but I want a can't miss impact member of my secondary. And then the third thing for me would be to bring in a defensive mind who is somewhat different. Somebody who's just going, and I'm not saying that they need to change what they do. I'm not looking for Pete to have wholesale changes. As you can tell, all three of my fixes have to do with the defense, not the offense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not looking to let Russ cook or fire Shoddy or fire Ken Norton or anything like that. But, you know, There are enough big-time defensive minds out there that don't necessarily think exactly the same as Pete,
mm-hmm.
And I think it would be helpful for them to bring in somebody who just does things a little bit differently to help with parts of what they do, and the name Wade Phillips is probably the one that jumps out because he's had so much success. He's not built exactly like Pete. We've seen him in a couple of different Super Bowls with excellent defenses, and it would just start to vary things a little bit. So
mm-hmm.
Fix your pass rush with two players plus Clowney. Fix your secondary with an impact safety or corner, and bring in somebody, whether it's Wade Phillips or someone like him, to just bring some new, creative, different ideas to your defense.
Those are three really good fixes.
And the Seahawks are fixed.
That sounds better than the golf tee in your door hinge
right.
Space. Like that that just feels a whole lot better.
You think that fixes the Seahawks?
Significant step. The first one for me, yes, I think that is a very good exercise. I would take it even a step further back. And remember when DePoto and Stanton and those guys came in here and talked about the exercise they did? When they had to make the decision, are we going to stay status quo or are we going to blow this thing up? Mm. Like, are we legitimately going to hit this nuclear button and take some significant steps back and lose more than we've ever lost over the last few decades in order to win in the future? And in order for them to make that decision, what did they do? They went around and with a notepad, and I would imagine the legal notepad, the yellow legal notepad that Marvin Demoff loves so much, And I would imagine they said, okay, how many of these guys can be on this roster when we win a World Series, right? That was the exercise in whatever it was, 2020. Go ahead and write down the names on this roster. And they all looked at it and go, not good enough, not mm-hmm. even close. We gotta do this, guys and gals. We got to blow this thing up. And I think I would love to see that exercise done on their defense. I would love to see Schneider and Fitterer and Kirshner and Pete Carroll and Ken Norton and whatever 10 or 12 decision makers get in that room and say, okay, legal pads out. How many of the dudes on this roster that we have right now defensively can help win us a Super Bowl? That would be the first exercise. And I think they would say, oh my gosh, we've got some significant holes and problems on both the front ends and the back end. I think linebacker, Bobby's still got a couple years to win a Super Bowl. I think Kendricks can come back from an ACL and put in the right spot. I think he can be a Super Bowl quality linebacker.
Griffin could be on your team. He might not Shaquille be your Griffin's ace corner,
absolutely.
But he's
going to
be one of your guys.
Quandre Diggs is absolutely a guy in the next. And this is in the NFL, by the way. This is not a five-year exercise, right? The NFL turns over.
It's
and
a
with the cap
exercise.
And the draft. It is. It's yeah. a 2 year. It's a 2 to 3 year period.
Sure.
Not extend any for over the next couple years.
Okay. So what are your three fixes?
So that's
what
the first.
Up to three.
That's number one.
Number one is cull and get rid of what can't be.
That's
there.
Exactly right.
So who's on that list?
There's a bunch of them. I think unfortunately KJ's on that list for me, and he's going to save you $7 million. Bradley McDougal's on that list for me. He's going to save you $5 million. I mean, I think those are guys you just. At that number, you can't win a Super Bowl with. Bradley McDougal, the $2 million is a third safety? Okay, not at $5 million near starter money. I can't do that. KJ at a league minimum with some incentives? Great. Awesome. Love that as a fourth linebacker.
His cap number next year is $10 million.
Yeah, $10 million and save seven. I mean, those are things, and those are hard decisions because they're good veteran players.
Sure.
But those are decisions
you've got
to
make. Two guys in the last, what, year and a half, 2 years that you invested in like they were your future.
Well, not KJ.
And
now,
no, KJ
you brought
gave
back.
A one-year deal to, and Bradley, you got great value out of Bradley's contract, right? I mean, he made like $3-4 million. So I think in those two, unlike, you know, if you want to Jokels and Ziggy's and look at what you paid those guys for production, those have been two pretty good deals.
Yep.
So that's my first exercise, okay. Right, is to really curate everybody's ideas. The number two is you got to make those moves and create cap space. And then number three, yes, significant resources have got to go to that D-line in the secondary. Right. In this league, you've got to have D-line and you've got to have people that can cover and take the ball away. Significant resources in free agency and significant resources once again in this upcoming draft. And the good news is this is a good corner draft. Not the one when we were on the air 3 years ago where you could list, I think, 10 corners and you love the guy out of Colorado that went to the Cowboys and you rattled off like 10 names consistently.
I like both
over.
Those kids out of Colorado.
Yes.
Witherspoon, right?
Yeah, and he's a 49er.
Yeah.
And,
it's been okay. Not great.
What was the other guy? Down in Dallas, and he's been a good starting corner for them. So you need significant resources on your D-line and in your secondary. And, yeah, I think that fix helps a defense that was in the bottom 10 this year get in that middle 10, and with their offense, you're going to be competing, I think, for this division, ultimately a run in the playoffs.
So we just fixed the Seahawks in each of us in three steps. It's interesting that of the six things we said, none of them had anything to do with the offense. Not one.
Mm-hmm.
Not one thing. And that's not to say that there won't be things that happen offensively to make them
better. Was this a top 10 offense this last year?
I think so,
right? Was it a top 10 rushing offense, top 5 rushing offense? It was a top 10 scoring offense. It was a top 10 offense last year.
And yet that's where all the focus is.
With a top 3 quarterback, if not top 1 quarterback in the league. That's what they were last year. And that was with some injuries on the O-line. That was with an injury to Disley. That's with the emergence of 2,000-yard receivers with a top 3 running back. Like, those pieces all come back. This is going to be an offensive, I think, minded, talented team that can add in that draft in the middle rounds. That can add in free agency, right? This is such a loaded wide receiver draft, the best on paper that all these guys have ever seen. And you know what that does to veteran free agent receivers and some pretty decent ones? Man, does it deflate their market. Man, does that give you an opportunity to not have Jerron Brown or Malik Turner in the playoffs, but a legitimate guy that has played in this league.
And I think they'll find that.
A third guy.
I think those things happen for you. I don't think you need to necessarily make them your priority. I think they'll find those guys.
Yep.
So I'm not that worried about their offense that way. I think it will take care of itself. You've got Russell Wilson. I think their offense is fine.
But they're so close to having an elite offense, like a truly elite offense. You're going to end up replacing 3 or 4 offensive linemen. You want to pull scrap heap guys again and watch what we'd have
in 2016? I think you've got enough cap space and draft picks that you don't have to do that either. I mean, you can still find yourself some decent offensive linemen. But in the meantime, you've got to fix your pass rush. You cannot function another year with your pass rush looking like it did this year.
Joey Hunt, Ethan Posick, 1-2 at center. Dwayne Brown is your left tackle. Jamarco Jones is going to be a better guard than any guard you've had the last 2 or 3 years, correct? Now, what are you going to do at right tackle? If Ifedi walks, you know, I think that's a legit question. Do you pay George Fant a little bit of money and make him a right tackle? Does he have a skill set to do that? That is something that they're going to gauge in that building. So, yeah, I'm not going to say, Howdy, you're right, that all of a sudden, oh, you know, Russell can fix everything on that O-line. I think there are some resources there, but you got a lot of cap space, especially if you let go of Britt. And that's, what, $8 million of savings? Right, and I think you have to let go of him.
I thought they were going to let go of him last year. So I thought we were a year too late on that.
You had to pay Luke Jokel $9 million. That's a scrap heap guy.
That was a bad deal.
$9 million. Like, unless you truly invest, you're getting trash.
But you paid Yapati $2 million. You paid Fluker $2 million.
You said that Jamarco Jones is better than both of those.
All right, but those two guys have both been fine. They weren't Luke Jokel.
And they weren't the reason they lost in the playoffs.
Not even a little bit. I mean, they were more than serviceable, and they allowed them to have a pretty decent running game throughout. The problem was, couldn't stop anybody. And when it mattered most on huge third downs, their secondary wasn't good enough. They were playing Leno Hill in key spots, and their pass rush wasn't good enough. They couldn't get to the quarterback. They didn't touch Aaron Rodgers for the entirety of that game. And that's 2 years in a row the defense couldn't get it done.
Anything else to add, Kyle? How do you wait? Anyway,
you're not even supposed to be part of this.
Well, I can't help but you guys just continually just talking over each other, building on each other's ideas with no dissenting opinions.
I promise.
I bequeathed my time to Howdy. I'm just glad that you guys are finally coming around that like Delano Hill and Tedrick Thompson stink, because Howdy and I tried to tell you that
forever
for like 4 years.
His name is not Delano. Like,
oh, we haven't been able to see him yet. They
those
just
guys
haven't
aren't
gotten
good.
Opportunity.
His name is not Delano. At least
Lano.
Get the man's name right.
It's going to be hanging out at home, because I don't think he's going to be in the NFL next year. All right. Here's the next thing we're going to fix, Brock, in 3 steps or less. 3 steps or fewer. Oh. A little Frozen action. I did not have anything to do with this. Did you know that I've been on I just saw Frozen at the Paramount?
How was
what?
It?
Oh, it was great.
Was it good?
It was well done. Yeah, Avery loved it. She's transfixed by the whole thing.
Something to take the family to?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was entertaining. It was very,
you're a
it was
theater
very, very good.
Man.
I am.
I mean, you're seeing music, you're seeing plays.
Bit of a theater guy.
Symphonies.
He's opera.
You see opera?
I like to, seen opera, yeah. Not once a year. Every few years, I'll go to the opera.
Are you a card-carrying member of the Benaroya Hall?
No, but I go there once a year, too. I like going to Benaroya Hall. Do. That's an awesome place. All right. Fix the NFL in 3 steps. Fix the XFL.
Oh, yeah. The
fix
NFL.
The XFL.
The NFL. All right.
Fix the XFL. In 3 steps. I've got my 3 things to fix the XFL. You ready? Step 1. Don't start it in February. Start it in like May.
Let people develop a thirst.
I'm not ready yet. I just finished the Super Bowl like 2 weeks. I'm not ready for football yet. I have no hunger for it yet. I need a little bit of the natural evolution of the seasons. I'm not ready for football yet. And even if you waited like a month, I'd be more ready. I'm not ready for football right now.
You do need to cleanse the palate?
I need to, yes. I need some
cracker,
like, yes,
saltine.
I need like some grapefruit sorbet or something. Like
blueberry sorbet. Yes. Cleanse the palate. It's too close to the Super Bowl. It's not, my eyes can't be tricked this soon.
That's right.
Into believing that, oh, this is a good product.
That's right.
Because I just saw if football played at a really high level like 6 days.
I just saw Ryan Tannehill in the AFC Championship game. So I know great football when it's played. Okay. So don't pretend. No, I need a little space. Don't crowd me.
Like, that's fair.
I need a little bit of space. And that's not a criticism. It just, it would be helpful and I might be alone, but these are my fixes. I could use a little space. Don't smother me. That's one.
Yep.
Number 2. The 3-year rule has to go. Do not keep the same rule that the NFL has that requires players to be out of high school for 3 years. Allow players to come directly from high school. If the problem that the XFL has is that there are no stars in it, why not find those kids that are SEC top tier talent who have zero interest in going to school? And I'm not saying that's all of them. By no means is it. There are plenty of kids, Brock, and I know you've told me this a million times, that are really interested in getting that education as a part of their experience. But I think we also know there are plenty of them that are not interested in that are not, you know, that are like Quad A Green, who couldn't be bothered to go to class. There are plenty of SEC huge, big-time athletes, including quarterbacks, who are not particularly interested in getting their degree. It's not important to them.
As Cardale Jones once tweeted, I didn't come here to play school.
That's right. So instead of paying those kids $55,000, what if you had a premium for the best high school players coming out of high school and you paid them $85,000 or $100,000. Mm. And you brought in some big, big-time recruits, right? The top-tier athletes and big-name quarterbacks and said, for your 3 years of getting ready for the NFL, which you were going to do in college and not get paid for and only have a certain amount of time to practice and have to go to school, this and that, we're going to make you a full-time football player, and we're going to pay $85,000 to $100,000 a year to do it. And at the end of that, you're still going to be eligible for the NFL draft. Why wouldn't you do that and take on college football and B, actually find a means to bringing some stars into your league?
Mm-hmm.
That I would do that immediately. And maybe there's something going on behind the scenes where the NFL doesn't want them to do that, or the NCAA has pressured the NFL. But I would do that in a flash. Mm-hmm. There is no reason you can't have the very best, what would be freshman, sophomore, you know, those kids who can't play in the NFL yet. Get them right here and let them go nuts in the XFL and see what happens. The third thing, and there's no real plan for it. You got just the quarterback play has to be a little bit better, because there were a lot of good things that came out of the league. I thought. I mean, that you some of the quality of play was very good. Your game, I think, Brock had especially good quality of play, mm-hmm. and quarterbacks were good. But you know, there were a lot of balls thrown at the ground. There were a lot of these sort of 21 for. I'm just looking at some of the stats from the weekend for quarterbacks. You see 21 of 40. You see 22 of 44. You see 16 of 34. 15 of 29. I mean, there were a couple on the other side of that ledger. So I don't mean sure. to. I mean, there was also a 20 of 27 and 33 of 42. So there are a couple guys that did well, but there are way too many of those 50% or fewer type of efforts from the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That's hard. So, you know, if I'm the XFL, I'm kind of looking at it and saying, all right, week one was successful, but so was week one of the AAF. There were a lot of very similar things being said after week one of the AAF. The question is, can you get people to build part of their weekend around this?
Yeah.
That's what makes the NFL special, right? I build my weekend around, hey, what are you doing? Well, let's see. Seahawks play Sunday at 10. So that's what I'm doing from 10 until 1:30. That's my weekend. Everything else has to get built around it. Will this be something where over time there's no more curiosity factor? It has to be, no, this is something I truly want to watch. I'm going to build my weekend around.
You know
it.
What? As a contract employee, I must recuse myself from this conversation.
You have no fixes?
Please
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
Hold on. You're not being paid by the XFL.
Oh, yes, I am.
I thought you were being paid by Fox.
Oh, that's what you think.
Oh, you're being paid by the league?
Maybe I'm double dipping.
Well, then you're
maybe
not.
Maybe I have to recuse myself from this.
Is that true? Who's paying you?
Fox is paying me.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I would contend, though. I think those are all three really good ideas.
And those aren't shots. I thought it was fine. Like, I'm not taking shots at the
XFL. Now, the difference,
though,
let me start with what your comparison to the AAF. The challenge AAF had, number one, obviously, it was fake money.
Yes.
Because I never got paid.
Huge
for my
difference.
Work.
It wasn't fake money. It was just no money. There was no money.
It right. was outright.
It's like Scottsdale.
Yeah. There's lots of lawsuits about fraud and misrepresentations and things going on behind the scenes. So that. And number two, after the initial weekend of being on network TV, do you remember what happened?
Yeah, they
went
to
Bleacher Report.
Right.
They went to, true. Like, they just
FS3.
Went.
FS3.
Yes. To Joe TV. I mean, it went places where you couldn't find it.
Yep.
So, wow, that was a really cool product.
And that doesn't happen here. They stay in ABC,
every Saturday
ESPN,
will be, yep. Every Fox. Saturday will be Fox and ABC, and Sunday goes to ESPN and FS1. But you are going to be able to just have it on your channels that are on your guide that are right there in front of you, like, oh, there it is. I would also challenge, and I understand the oversaturation to a degree, and you come right off the Super Bowl, but this is also your window to just capture, because you don't have the Masters in April. You don't have the NFL draft. You don't have the buildup to, you know, the NFL. This, if there is a downtime in the NFL, it is February and March. Right now, March gets going with free agency and the combine at the end of the month, but you get a chance here to capture two or three weekends, especially in February, where what else are you legitimately turning on and watching?
I don't know. But how
college
about
college basketball comes in March?
May,
not,
June,
March,
July?
March Madness is so dominant there through March. Right. Then the NFL draft, the end of April, you have a window, I think, of opportunity to kind of capture it here.
May would be an interesting time. The moment the NFL draft ends and everybody's gotten
started
psyched
Major
up
League
for some
baseball
football
season.
That started a month earlier than that. I don't know. I'm not ready yet.
Okay.
That's all I could tell.
Kyle,
yet.
Were you ready? You weren't ready either. Coming off the
I
Super
was
Bowl?
So ready. But my readiness started to wane.
It waned quickly.
It went quick. I'm not out. You may remember last year. I'm sure no one does. I came in on Monday. I was Mr. AAF. I was all in on the AAF, and then I was all out so fast. It made your head spin.
Whoa. Okay.
I saw your
head spin.
Doesn't work as well when you say that.
No. How do you
doesn't
out?
Sound right.
Was it too fast?
Howdy loved it.
I'm a late adopter. Oh. I am not going to be an early adopter on this league.
Okay.
I'm going to let
you don't
it
want
impress
to have your heart
me.
Broken?
Yes, I am going to guard my heart. I'm
smart.
Saving myself. and I'm going to let them win me over.
Because there's nothing worse than falling in love with a new league only to have not succeed.
That's what happened with lacrosse.
I watched what happened to Kyle with the AAF, and I don't want that to happen to me.
So put your heart in Brandon Silver's hands.
So the the ratings on Fox were like a 2.3 to 2.7 between the two games. By comparison, that's better than any, really, I think any Fox game that I did this year, save for Bedlam. Bedlam was in the threes. That's double the number of, say, UCLA, Oklahoma we did in Fox on a Saturday night primetime. Washington, Utah was an afternoon on a Saturday. I think that was like a 1.6, 1.7. It did better than good college football games.
They're key, though, and that's about right. That's what I would have guessed, especially for week one. What I'm curious about is week two and three. Well, and don't hear this as it's going to go down in week two or three. I'm not saying that. That's really the test.
It is.
Because week one is, all right, let's see these new rules. Let's see what they're doing. Let's see if this thing, there's a ton of curiosity.
Of play. Let's see if there's any stars. Let's see if there is an ex Kurt Warner or Jake Delhomme. Let's see.
And I think some of the rule things were interesting, right? I mean, I thought the kickoff rule was cool, and that may be something the NFL wants to steal or adapt. Mm-hmm. I think that extra point thing was a good idea. Why? Yeah. I was surprised to see so many teams going for one.
Correct.
The difference between one and two seems negligible.
No, and the percentages were 41 and 36, actually less, right? Yeah, to get 1 point than 2 points.
I think I'd be going for three.
You've got to go.
Don't you
for
think
two.
You'd be going for three a lot? From the 10?
If those numbers stay around that 38 to 41%, at 1 and 2, I think that probably is worthy.
I'm just surprised that this league starts and nobody wants to be the first one to go out and do it.
Like, right. I would have done it right off the bat. Yeah, why? Like, I'm going for three. Why not?
You're not going against any precedent or any trend. Correct. Why wouldn't you start off going big?
And there's no rule. You're going to get fired?
Exactly.
I mean,
only defensive line.
Forget it, Pep Hamilton. You're out of here. You went for three too early.
Like, Pepper Johnson got fired.
That's true.
His team won the game. He still got fired.
Ruthless.
Pepper Johnson was so good as player, man. Don't you ever mess with Pepper Johnson.
He was so great in our production meeting, by the way.
I love Pepper
Johnson.
You would
have loved being there.
I already do.
Here's the key. Those numbers this weekend have got to be in the twos again.
Yeah,
if those numbers are in the twos again, and then again, and again, guess what you can do?
Yeah, you got
now
something.
You're selling. Now you are legitimately selling to the big advertisers and getting legitimate money. And when you get legitimate money, Mike, then you're number two. You know what you get the opportunity to do? I don't think it's a high school kid.
Pay your players more.
Yes, but it's also that kid that played really well in college as a freshman that is sitting there going, do I want to stick around here for the next two? Or would it behoove me to go make $100,000?
Right, right? They don't. They cannot do that. Now.
They cannot do that.
They
now.
Have the 3 year rule, just like
they
the
have
NFL
a
3 year does.
Rule. But once again, like if they look at
I'd
it and say
that, thing tomorrow.
That is a training ground, that's a developmental ground, that's some good football, and I can make six figures and go play there and legitimately help myself for the NFL in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a target, not necessarily a kid right out of high school. I think that is such a total crapshoot, and we have seen it in this market between Siler Miles and Jeff Lindquist.
All right, make it a 1 year that list. Fine.
Yeah, you know, let them be in college. See if there's a true phenom as there was in college last year, as there's a Justin Fields, and then Justin Fields makes a decision. Do I want to be at Ohio State and capture the Ohio State, everything that it brings to me for my life on and off the field, or do I want to go to this XFL and get paid legitimate, maybe it's, you know, $150,000, whatever it is, if this league starts to make some money, and play there before I then bounce to the NFL? And will I be more NFL ready? Because being down on the sidelines, that game felt right in between a college game and an NFL game. It was faster than the college football, much of it that I've ever seen, and it was just maybe a step slower, obviously, than the elite NFL game. So,
all right. Couple other things to fix while we're just fixing everything in the world.
It's going
to
be
job
a long segment.
Good job for the XFL. I thought, honestly, week one, based on the press that they've received, the publicity, et cetera, was a solid week one. The trick now is to follow it up, to get people who said, hey, all right, that was cool. I wanted to see what it looked like, but, you know, I'm not going to build my life around it. Will they keep coming back? And I think there's a good chance that happens. We'll see weeks two and three. All right, next thing to fix. Fix the Oscars.
Oh, boy.
This past weekend was Oscar weekend. Kyle and I didn't get to watch the Oscars together.
It's
like
too
we have.
Early. What are they doing?
I know. Generally, Kyle and I watch them in spring training in Arizona
every
with
year,
Shannon.
Every 4 years, pool. You get a primary.
Yes.
We're going to miss that.
Kyle and I gather to watch what's going on in both politics and
you can
and
still
movies.
Do it now. Like, you can call each other, right? And say, hey,
usually there's laundry. It just wouldn't be the full experience.
Salk, you want to come out to Spokane?
Shannon's there.
I had it on DVR, too, because that's when we were out watching Frozen. So Heather and I zipped through the Oscars this year in no time, which is definitely the way.
Just get to the award presentations, like obviously.
Yeah,
in a
like
game,
we watched Eminem
obvious,
and stuff.
Okay.
Like you just kind of, I don't care about
what makes
makeup.
You stop?
I don't know. You you just kind of wait and see what it is. You go through all the commercials. You fast forward through Renee Zellweger. Like, yeah, there's things that you just know to move on from.
Renee crushed it, I thought. Eh.
No? All right, so here are my three-step fixes for mostly this Oscars, but also some other Oscars. Number one, I thought Steve Martin and Chris Rock were great together. Let them just host the Oscars. Mm. I was fine with the no host thing, but the two of them together, they were great. Mm. Different generation. I mean, like, yes, do that. Steve Martin and Chris Rock, very good together. They kind of get away with a lot. Number two, just go back retroactively and give Sam Mendes the award for best director. Mm. That wasn't right. That dude did an entire movie in one shot. Like, come on. I know they gave it to the cinematographer for 1917, but go back and give it to Sam Mendes. Parasite was a good movie. Probably deserved best picture.
Did you see it?
Yes.
You saw Parasite?
It's good. It's really good.
Was it good?
Yeah. I like 1917 better, but I would no issues with Parasite winning best picture, but come on.
Fix the Oscars by awarding them to the movies I prefer.
That's exactly right. Yeah, good. Thank you.
Makes sense.
And then here's my final fix for the Oscars. You'd kind of make it American Idol style, where people at home vote for how long each winner gets on the stage. So that when Joaquin Phoenix starts rambling incoherently about, you know, not
like
drinking
got
milk.
Count. Like everyone's got a buzzer.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're just waiting. And oh,
yes.
That's one buzz.
I'm out.
That's one buzz.
Yes.
Oh, that's two buzzes. I don't know.
Versus when the director who won for Parasite starts telling this great story about how he had this quote that he had kept on his wall since forever. He kept this quote forever. And he revealed that it was from... what's his name from The Irishman? Martin Scorsese. Thank you. It was Martin Scorsese's quote. Scorsese was there, and they allowed a big ovation for it. That was awesome, and he should be allowed to continue.
Mm.
And then when Renee Zellweger comes out and she's annoying, you just hit the button, and you don't have to watch. Hey. People at home can vote on these
things. She's on two buzzers. How is she going to say next? She's on two. Three. She's out.
Now, if you really wanted to make it cutthroat, you would not give the buzzers to the people at home. You would give the buzzers to all of the people at the Oscars.
There's no way anyone in that room presses a buzzer.
Well, no, it has to be secret. It's got to be secret. They can't see the buzzer. It would have to be secret buzzers.
Mike, Hollywood
secret
is
buzzers,
like the Astros have.
Self-aggrandizing.
Yes. Secret buzzers. Yes. Secret buzzers so that they could buzz out the people that they don't like. And then you would find out who in Hollywood is liked and respected and who is not. Tell me that wouldn't make for a more entertaining Oscar experience.
You thought the Oscars were liberal already. Oh,
I don't know.
Smokes.
You might find out it's not what you think if it was secret.
How about a drop floor? Like if they're just going too long, you have a
don't
button.
Take a
yes,
seat.
Yes. And the floor drops and they just go down. Like in the water. Just.
We need Nickelodeon to come in. Russell yes. Wilson will host yes. and make another Kids' Choice Award.
Yes. Yes. Let him just go.
Joaquin Phoenix is one really good actor, but man, that guy should not talk.
Why milk?
Just don't talk.
What's wrong
oh,
with milk?
Oh, it's an animal PETA thing. Oh. Just let it go. You don't want to know. Yeah. Trust me. Okay. You don't want to hear any of it. It was hard to listen to. Okay. All right.
Can I sneak one of mine
Please
in?
Please do. What would you like to fix?
Because I know Howdy's probably going to be a little animated on this one.
Howdy's chomping at the bit.
Probably. How do you fix UW Hoops?
Kyle?
You fire my copies. Enough is enough. He's proven he's lost the team. He can't play with these one-and-done recruits.
All right,
they're
enough.
They're going to take a step back next year. You thought this year was bad. Went
enough, Super Coug.
The Cougs just beat them.
Oh,
bad.
Soundly. I mean, everybody beats them soundly. They lost like 9 in a row. They
they're
lost like
you realize
11
that? They're,
or 13.
They're in the yeah. basement. They're
what
in last
place. What happened?
They are in last place.
What has happened?
Well, here's what I do all right. to fix.
Fix this.
We all know what happened. The wheels have totally come off like a floor underneath Mike Hopkins right into a dunk tank. It's time to just play the freshmen and bench your juniors. You've got to go young.
The freshmen are all going to be gone next
Whoa,
year.
No, freshmen. They're not.
This is
Who?
Out
no,
there
I'm not
take.
Talking about. Oh, I'll get to Jaden McDaniels. I don't play him either. That's number two.
He's a freshman.
That's fine. I'm talking
Stewart,
about.
He's
I'm talking
benched.
About your other freshmen. I said play your freshmen. Play Stewart. Play the kid from Marysville, Pilchuck. Play the kid from Oregon. Play
Frank
those guys.
Battle,
yes,
Marcus Sweet. Sahona
yes, name. You've got to play them. You got to play them. And I'm sorry, like your juniors have had 3 years here. And they're going to be off the bench, and you're going to have to earn every second of it. Because when you're cellar dwelling and your season's over and you're not making the NIT, it is time to play your young people. And I mean, and I'm sorry, let your juniors
Riley Sorn,
sit and
7 foot four, coming off the bench.
You have got to just play your young people. Number two, Jaden McDaniels is, man, this has been a real challenge. I was talking to some basketball people about this, and they're like, if an NBA GM or coach thinks that they're going to take that kid in the top 10, they're going to lose their jobs. Right, and I hate to label a 17 or 18 year old a coach killer, and I'm not necessarily doing that because this kid is young enough to turn the corner. But right now, this is not working, and he will have to sit on that bench and earn every second. And if he doesn't play as hard as possible, you're just going to continue to sit there. And I'm sorry, this is not working. We have given you how many games this season? So those are my two immediate fixes as far as just playing the young guys and not your juniors and seniors anymore.
You think
not Jaden McDaniels.
You think Hop's in any trouble?
No. I think two-time coach of the year, I don't think so. I mean, right, back-to-back
just
years.
Just a step back.
Coach of the year. I think this is a step back and a reflection that we are not a five-star program. I've been thinking about this, and I told the story, I think, on the podcast, the difference between Texas and Texas Tech, mm-hmm. the difference between Herman having to build that program with five-star kids and everything that comes with versus building a program with three-star kids. And heck, look at the Texas Tech. Heck, look at Dayton. Heck, look at these programs all over college basketball. Look at Washington when he was coach of the year. Did he do it on the shoulders of five-star recruits? Or did he do it on the shoulders of
four-star kids,
of some four-stars and some other absolute role players that buy in and will sacrifice and be tougher together and do everything that's asked? And I think this is one of those you look in the mirror and go, we're not a five-star program. We're not. We are not going to be that. We will let Arizona and we will let UCLA and we will let others win the recruiting rankings and they can do that. We are not going to do it the five-star route. We are not a five-star program. We are a three-star program with a four-star that's the right mix that may be the local kid, and we're going to do it the right way. And you know what? I'm going to have them run them stairs out at Forbes Creek Park, and they're going to be puking and they're going to be punching me and they're going to be furious and they may not like me, but we're going to do it with the hard hat and the lunch pail, and we can't do it with the five-star
briefcases. Hold on. Isn't that the style of coach that he's been since he's been here, Mike Hopkins? He has been a grinder on
right.
players. Like, he works guys hard. And it is not just that Jaden McDaniels is not playing well on this team. There is not a player on this team outside of Naz Carter and outside of Isaiah Stewart that is playing to their capabilities. Not one.
Mm.
That's all on the coach, 100%. Something has to change there in how he does this, because Jaden McDaniels didn't ruin this
game.
Yeah,
but I think what Brock's saying is where the change occurs is not with the coaching style, it's with the types of players yes. and the personalities that you bring in.
So five-star recruit, Paolo Banchero at O'Day.
A one and done. Going to be a one and done.
Kind of a combination of John Brockman and, like, I mean, that guy is legit.
We have seen what that did to Lorenzo. We saw what it did, right, at the second half of Lorenzo's career.
But Isaiah Stewart is a five-star kid. He's playing great. He's carrying the team.
He is a great kid, unfortunately.
I think the idea is it's not that you would say no to five-star kids. It's that you only say yes to the right ones.
Yep.
Right? And I think that's got to be the theory behind
it.
I'm not going to pretend to know myself which ones are and which ones aren't.
From a work capacity standpoint, and whatever it takes, Isaiah Stewart was the right one.
It's not like there's 7 5-star kids trying to go to Washington.
No.
Right.
They only get certain ones that are even willing to
I understand that,
consider
but I think what you're saying is you don't just say yes automatically, that you have to actually do your homework, even on the 5-star kids, and still find the ones that fit with the mentality you're looking for and the personality.
A 5-star that has a 3-star mentality, and those are even more rare to find. Because most of the 5-stars get the adulation in 6th grade. Most of the 5-stars get their butts kissed in junior high. Most of the 5-stars have already figured out what their shoe deal is going to be and where they're going to go and starting to build their entourage around them to get to the NBA. Give me the 5-star that is still built like a 3-star.
That's a unicorn.
It is.
Yeah, okay.
They're going out
it is.
Recruit the golden goose.
But I think that's what Brock – that's okay. You're not just recruiting that one player. You're saying that I'm going to recruit 3 stars who have the right attitude. I'm going to recruit 4 stars who got the right attitude. And on the 5-star kids, yeah, if the right one is there, then absolutely we'll spend some energy and time trying to make it happen. But we're not going to go all out for the kid that is going to be a potential huge deal for the program, but also a potential program wrecker. It's just not worth the risk.
I'm not going to win on paper. Right? We're not going to win on hype. We're not going to win on perception. We're not going to do it. We're going to win with the lunch pail. How do you not buy in it?
Because
you think it's a lot deeper.
They have all those guys on the roster. They've been there for 3 years, and none of them are good, and none of them got better. And Hopkins brought every one of them there.
Well, the previous iteration got a lot better over the last 2 years, correct?
So what Hopkins showed with Romar's guys, he's a good on-the-court coach, but he has yet to develop players at all.
No, I don't
all
think that's what
he showed. All of his juniors are not great.
Those guys. I think what he didn't do is develop his own guys, right? Which tells me it's more about recruiting than it is about coaching. He was better at developing somebody else's players. Somebody else brought in the right guys for him, and he just did it. Right.
Yes.
I think that's sort of the point. So, yeah, I understand what Brock's saying. I don't know the right answer to this, but I think I understand your point.
Guess what's going on across I-90? Guess what that guy inherited? right? He inherited a bunch of 3 stars and 2 stars, and guess what he's done?
Leftovers.
What has Tony Bennett done throughout his career?
Seems like, I wonder how much in basketball, and I don't know that much about the inner workings of recruiting in basketball. It sounds...
You don't want to know.
I know. I don't. I legitimately don't.
Specifically you. You don't want to know.
Specifically for us, we don't want you to know.
I wonder if one of... I wonder if one of the reasons some of these guys have had success with other coaches' recruits is that they never had to promise them anything.
Yep. Yes.
And this is just me. I don't know enough about this. So if I'm completely way off on this, feel free to let me know. But how many promises do you have to make to recruits in basketball, especially even more so than football? Yeah. Because you only get a few on your team.
No question.
How many incredibly hard to keep promises do you need to make?
Yes.
That then, what's your word? Encumber you once they actually get your program. Versus, okay, I'm coming in here fresh. I didn't promise you jack.
That's exactly right.
I didn't tell you you can play.
There's no question.
Sorry, the last guy did. Feel free to transfer if you want. But if you're going to stay here and you want to play this year, these are my rules. Sorry, I didn't promise you anything.
Here's the other bind is I've thought about these words that came out of my mouth 10 minutes ago.
This is why I'm falling farther and farther out of love with basketball every year. The coaches have no control whatsoever. And I'm all for players' rights and players having a level of safety and getting paid. And this is like I'm for that. But at the end of the day, there's got to be some sort of a top-down mentality to your sport. And this trickles down from the NBA down to college and eventually into high school, AAU, et cetera, where the coaches don't have any juice whatsoever, and it is entirely kid-run, player-run.
Former NBA guy said this to me yesterday. We were looking at this shooting facility. He said to me, we're talking about some of this, and talking about UW, actually. And he said, where and what other job in America does the labor have more power and make more money than management? What other job?
I mean, MLB.
Radio.
I mean, professional sports.
Radio,
right?
For sure. Radio is definitely that. So, yeah. Were you able to relate at all?
But you see some of the challenges that does.
I do.
Yes. You do.
You
and
know,
you may
Brock,
even know them
that
now.
That presents some problems.
That does create some management and coaching challenges.
Yes, it does. Now, furthermore.
And spring training starts here. Go talk to Scott Service about it.
That's exactly right. Furthermore, it's very easy for me to sit here and say these are the fixes. Play the young guys. Right. Don't play Jaden. Make him earn everything. Well, for Mike Hopkins now, for him as a coach this season in the future, what happens to the uber-talented kids down the road?
Right.
You ruin Jaden McDaniels. That kid came in here. He's an NBA lottery pick on everybody's board if he could have come right out of high school. And what did you do to him? Where's his confidence? Right. I mean, you are in a delicate spot if you're Mike Hopkins, too, to your point about promising kids and recruiting kids and developing kids. And I took your kid and I made Matisse Seibel was awesome. I made him a first round pick. Sign me up. Kids want to come play for that Quad A Green. Let me transfer there. But all of a sudden, when it goes this bad,
right,
and it's this tough,
and they're the ones in control,
and the body language right now is atrocious on that court. It's harder for me to watch. Is it hard?
I had more fun watching your daughter play basketball than I have watching any other basketball game in about the last 5 years.
By the way,
years.
That sounded like a really tough fix. Of everything we talked about, the XFL.
By far the hardest. the other things were easy.
The Seahawks, the Oscars, we had some good fixes.
Well, then this one will be easy. You ready for the last one? I think it's the last one we have time.
Well, we could do this for another hour, but yeah.
Fix high school and youth sports.
Oh,
now, I know very little about high school and youth sports, but I have the fix. I have a couple of fixes. Here's my.
This is going to be good.
This is an amendment.
This is my number one biggest fix for high school and youth sports. Use technology. Okay?
YMCA?
No, I'm going to tell you. The biggest, one of the biggest changes we've made in technology is through our use of video, right? And the ability to stream live video through the internet, et cetera, at a very, very low price. Ban parents from every single youth sports after the age of, let's say, 10.
Six.
Every parent from every game. They can watch it live via video, but they cannot be there. You can have other kids there. You can have friends, etc. But if you are a parent of a kid in that, cannot be there and watch. You have to watch through streaming video.
I think I'm smelling a cottage industry.
What would that change?
I'm serious. You build like a warehouse.
Yes.
You have kind of fake fans, or maybe you bring in
artificial noise.
Yes.
So they get used to playing
That's
with
exactly
noise.
Right.
Absolutely.
And the parents are not allowed in.
Not allowed in.
I think Cal Ripken did this, by the way, in the baseball league. I'm pretty sure he did.
You can watch on video. I want you to support your kid.
He did not let the parents be there. And there were like no walks either. I think he honestly put in some of these restrictions in the league that he helped manage and run back east.
Did it work?
I don't know.
Let's go find out.
Is he still doing it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he's still doing it.
Cal got bored.
Yeah, who could blame him?
It'd be intriguing. It'd be very, very
intriguing. Attend a lot of these games and have over the last decade or so.
Oh, really?
What would it be like if all of the parents had to watch on video through their computers or iPhones or whatever instead of in person?
Well, let's just say I had a friend of mine who may listen or may not listen to this podcast. I'm pretty sure he does. He was at work, could not get home. And you're right, the technology in this day and age.
Sure.
I mean, the gym, most of these gyms have amazing cameras that you can build into to watch the game. And he said he was watching it from his cubicle and he was throwing things.
Sure.
People like coming over. But yes, it was
go throw things in your own cubicle.
That's
knock
exactly
yourself
right.
out.
Yep.
You are not affecting anybody else when you do that. You're not screwing up the kids.
Yep.
Yes,
the
that's
coaches,
the new rule.
The referees.
That's right.
Everybody involved.
You just have to go sit by yourself. You can fume and get as mad as you want, but you cannot do it while the kid is in sight and sound.
Interesting.
What do you think?
I think that's fascinating.
One shot fix, and we've just solved. I mean, I think I would also ban travel and a whole bunch of other things.
Mm-hmm.
The whole travel thing seems like a complete. If there's not, you're telling me there's not enough talent around you, you have to go travel? Of course there is. Why is it? What do you mean there's not enough talent? Of course there is.
Seattle? Sure, there
there's
is.
There's plenty of talent here. You do
coming
not
out
need
of Prosser, Washington?
Mm-hmm.
No, you got
that's
travel.
Not true. I know. I mean, like, Brock's kids don't need to go to Vegas and Atlanta and Dallas and all that.
They're in Seattle.
If you can't drive there, then you no flying.
Mm.
No flying for anything, for any purpose, for any reason. No flights until you get to college. How's that?
Where'd this idea spring up, by the way?
I don't know. I was just thinking.
Thinking about it?
Thinking of things I could fix.
Are you still thinking? You find yourself walking around the house.
Yeah.
Compared to the days we did this on an everyday basis. Do you still find yourself thinking?
Nope. Not really.
Now you got other things to be thinking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember what Kyle was just talking about? About trying to manage people
yeah.
that have more power and make more money than
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking about all the time. So
fair
I don't
enough.
Have a today... Or I had a little time just think about fixing
fair
things.
Enough.
So there you go.
You know I'm not necessarily a handy.
Not necessarily, Brock. But
a
today,
fixer. But a fixer.
We are fixers. As we continue on here with the Brock and Salk podcast, and we're pleased to be joined by Fox Sports' own Kurt Menefee, another Brock partner as well. Hi, Kurt. How are you?
All right. How are you guys doing?
We're great. I mean, how could we not be? We're in full swing here. Seahawks off season. We're fixing things today. Brock and I are in fix-it mode. So we've kind of gone through,
okay.
We fixed the Seahawks, we fixed the XFL, we fixed the Oscars, we fixed social media. We're on top of the world this morning, just fixing things. Anything you'd like to fix for us?
There's a lot to be fixed right now in our world. So that's the downside. But if we've got two guys like you working on it, then I feel a lot better about everything.
It's an extra long podcast today. It's like three straight hours of us just fixing everything.
That's
the only
time. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Hey, after the weekend and the dust has settled, and we'll get to the Seahawks and the NFL, but you know, as the dust settles on the XFL, as you kind of look back on it now, after a few days to reflect on both our game, Kurt, and the weekend at large, what was your biggest takeaway?
I think that my biggest takeaway was how, I guess personally, the quality of the play. You know, I was impressed with that because you don't know. These teams were put together basically 5 weeks ago, you know, guys meeting each other, getting to know one another, and then having to come out and play an actual game with really, you know, they didn't have preseason games. They had a couple of scrimmages, but no tackling involved in those kinds of things. And I thought the quality of play overall for the league was pretty good, and I think it was officiated pretty well. It was all pretty clean, no big controversies. So to have that coming out of the gate at a brand-new league with brand-new teams, that was impressive to me. The second aspect of it from a big-picture thing is just the response that I think that it came about with the fans, with the media, with people that also obviously didn't know what to expect and were pleasantly surprised by the quality of play, by the aspect of the audio and the broadcasts that we did at Fox and they did at ABC and ESPN. And I think it caught some people by surprise because particularly, and I use the line, and I don't mean it in a negative way, but older, you know, media people who going into this were like, well, in 2001, this was about He Hate Me and it was gimmicks and it was this. Will this be the same? And you kept saying, no, this is about football, football, football. But we've got, you know, the ability to maybe do some interviews during the game or listen to coaches call plays. Other than that, it really is about football. And those people didn't believe it. Now, if you're under 30, you don't really remember 2001, you know, not, you know, strongly. So this was not a surprise to them, I don't think, but I think a lot of people had different expectations, and they came out of this feeling good about the potential of this league.
That he hate me thing's never going away, though.
No.
It's amazing. The moment you say the words XFL 2001, the first thing anybody says is he hate me. They don't talk about SkyCam, which was invented then. They don't talk about the Steal the Bacon version of the opening coin toss, which I thought was awesome until I think somebody got hurt. But they just talk he hate me every time. No, I don't think the XFL 2001 is the thing that it would be naturally comped to. The concern is more AAF, right? That week one went well for that also, right?
Yeah, and I think that's where the kind of the newer generation goes. And I think that was one of the things going in. If you were old enough to remember 2001, you wanted to tie it into that. If you weren't, you wanted to tie it into the AAF. And this version, and I'm not trying to do a stump speech here. Look, I've been involved in what's going on behind a couple of months. So I had some questions going into it, and those questions were answered for me. So I know I have an advantage that other people don't. But, the thing is, neither one of those previous iterations or different leagues has anything to do with what this XFL is. This XFL is funded, which the AAF was not. It was a league that tried to convince people they were so that they could get investors on board and obviously ran out of money during the first season because they weren't. I know for a fact that the funding behind this version of the XFL will sustain it for multiple seasons. And then you want it to come out, and as long as the quality of football is good and the broadcasts are good, you're going to get viewers which will sustain the league for years to come. And as long as I think you don't try and compare it to something else and just look at it for what it is, I think people are going to be happy.
You think there can be good enough quarterback play? The guy that I'm staring across from here, Mr. Salk, is how would you define your quarterback taste?
I'm a snob. I like watching about 12 quarterbacks in the world.
That's about it.
I don't watch a lot of college football because I think the quarterbacks stink. And I don't like watching them throw incomplete passes to wide open players. There are NFL games where I'm like, Ryan Tannehill against, I'm good. And I know that guy went to the AFC Championship game this year. But for the most part, if you don't have good quarterback play, it's hard for me to truly invest in something. So, yeah, I would say maybe a quarterback snob.
You think the quarterback play can be good enough, competent enough, capable enough to sustain the league over these 10-plus weeks?
I do, from the standpoint of, I go back to, and maybe this is part of my old guy experience. I did NFL Europe for 10 seasons. And you would go into, and you know that the success of the team is going to be tied to the quality of the play at quarterback. And you would go into a year, and you'd have no idea who half these guys were. At the end of the season, we had Kurt Warner. We had Jake Delhomme. We had John Kitna. Those guys got an opportunity to play and develop their game. Now, Kurt Warner was not the Hall of Fame guy when he left, but he was a guy who wound up getting an opportunity to play in the National Football League, turn that into a Hall of Fame career. And the same thing with some of those other guys. And I'm not necessarily saying we're going to have a Hall of Famer or two come out of this, at least this first season. But I think by the end of the season, there will be guys. We had a guy in our game, the Houston quarterback, P.J. Walker, formerly known as Philip Walker. But, he's a guy who came out, I think, probably as the star of week one, that 99.9% of people who watch football on a regular basis in the National Football League had no idea who this guy was. And by the end of the season, if he keeps this up, they will. And he'll be a guy you go, okay, let me check out. Again, doesn't mean he's going to be one of the top 10 quarterbacks on the planet, but he'll be a guy that I think people will be interested in. And I think that'll happen around the league in different spots from time to time.
Did you know it when you were watching? One of the fun things and about the weekend was sitting down with you guys really after the game, and the director and the producer and guys that have been at Fox a long time, and the very best, to be honest with you, number one director, number one college football producer, and sitting around the table, I didn't realize how many of you cut your teeth over in NFL Europe. I mean, nearly everyone around that table spent some time in NFL Europe. Did you know when you were broadcasting those games of Jake Delhomme, of Kurt Warner, of John Kitna, I'd include Damon Hewitt on that list. Did you know, as you were watching those guys, these could be NFL dudes. Like, these guys have a chance to be NFL guys.
I felt they had a chance to be NFL guys. I'll be honest with you. Who knows at that stage if they are going to be a guy who leads a team to a Super Bowl or a guy who's a long-term starter. I mean, I can remember when Kurt Warner finished his season, you knew he could play in the National Football League. But at that time, he had just been the fourth string, not even the third string quarterback, the fourth string quarterback in Green Bay, I believe, off the top of my head. I think he was behind Favre, Hasselbeck, and Mark Brunell. So, he was sent over there. He had been cut, St. Louis signed him and just sent him over there to play to find out what he could do. So you go, okay, this guy is at least a number three, maybe a number two. If he can get an opportunity to be on their practice squad or do something, he can develop into something more. And I think those are the kinds of things you saw. You felt guys could be players in the league. The question was, you know, what type of quality. But I think we also found out, and not to make this an NFL Europe retrospective, but, you know, we found out about guys who can't play. And I think that's what these leagues are as much as anything else as well. I mean, you may remember Gio Carmazzi was a third-round draft pick of the San Francisco 49ers. You sent him over there. You spent 10 minutes with him in a meeting room and watched one quarter of him play, and you go, this guy can't do it. And so I think it saves some teams some time that way as well. And, you know, maybe that's what we'll find out with some of these guys in this league too.
I preferred it when it was the World League of American Football. Wasn't that at the beginning? It was the World League, and then it became NFL Europe. Jack Bicknell, I think, was over there, and the Barcelona.
Oh, yes.
Are they the Barcelona Dragons?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow, you're barely born.
The Barcelona Dragons, and that's where John Kitna was the quarterback. Lawrence Phillips played running back over there. Lots of guys. I'm trying to think.
Growing up in Boston, we followed Jack Bicknell a little bit.
Yeah.
He had been Flutie's coach at BC, so there was a little bit of Jack Bicknell love. Hey, since we're fixing things, let's get back to the NFL and the Seahawks, who were close this year, right? I mean, certainly record-wise, and they find themselves in the final eight teams of the year. But watching them throughout the season, they seem to play over their head, and that they won games that, it, you know, on paper it looked like maybe they would not, and a lot of that sure seemed to be due to Russell Wilson. As you saw this team and then saw, you know, the best teams in the playoffs and onto the Super Bowl, you have a thought on how far away the Seahawks are?
Yeah, you know, I think they're in that next tier, if you will. Again, doing this off the top of my head, they're probably, you say, the top four teams that you could see, you know, getting back there. I think part of the problem they got, though, is they're in the NFC, and I think the NFC is stacked. And this is before the draft and before free agency and all that. But, I mean, if you look at, I mean, even in the division, you go San Francisco, Los Angeles, you would assume won't be as bad coming off of, I think part of that was coming off a Super Bowl loss. Arizona is going to get better. But you look around, and Green Bay, I think, will improve. New Orleans, we'll see what happens with Drew Brees there. Atlanta, I think, is more of what they were the second half of the season than what they were the first half of the season. You know, I think a lot of these teams are much deeper in the NFC, and that will be the challenge for, I think, the Seahawks. But I do feel like, you know, there are games that you go, they're out of it. You got to give them credit for coming back and fighting and being in it and winning at the end. But it is probably a year ahead of where they should have been. So I don't see them at least taking a step back, because I think their problems really were on defense. And Brock, you and I talked about in the preseason, this felt like the year that the Seahawks had to become an offensive team after years of kind of relying on the defense. And they did that. They were able to do that. Yep. Obviously, health became an issue down the stretch as well. But I don't think they're that far away. I don't think they're in the elite category, but I think they're in the very good category.
And what can you do realistically, Kurt, through your experience in decades and decades of watching this, what realistically can they do defensively to add? Is it one? Is it two? Is it three? I mean, that D-line got a bunch of free agents. Quentin Jefferson's a free agent. Obviously, Jadeveon Clowney, their very best player, arguably on that defense, is a free agent. Ziggy Ansah is a free agent. You know, you've got LJ Call, you got Rasheem Green, you got Shaquem Griffin, you got Brandon Jackson, you got just a lot of bodies and even some familiar names, but not many playmakers on that side. What realistically can they do this offseason to really buttress a defense that desperately needs some help?
Well, I think to me it all starts, you know, and my understanding is that they're pretty good in cap space, but what do you do with Jadeveon Clowney? And once you decide that, then everything kind of, you know, spins off of that. And I think it's an interesting dilemma, because you look at him, and at times he might be the best defensive end in football. But at times he's not on the field because he's not healthy. He hasn't been able to, you know, be a guy that you can count on week in and week out physically being there. Also, I think that part of the reason he's no longer in Houston, they had a fear of once he got paid, would he be the same player? Now, I don't know the answer to that. And I'm not around him on a regular basis. I think by having a year with him, the Seahawks may be able to answer that a little bit better. But those are the types of questions you've got to figure out before you pay a guy, you know, the kind of money that position, and especially as a free agent, will require. So are you going to be able to give him $20 million a year and then be able to count on him, whether it's physically or mentally? If they do, then I think that solves some of their problems, many of their problems. And then you go, okay, now we just need a, we don't have to get that A player on the defensive end. We can really focus on, I think they need to get younger at linebacker. I do think they, you know, need to shore up maybe the other side on the defensive end if they bring back Clowney. If not, then you've got to go, you know, you got to get a stud somewhere on that defensive front. And I think if you start with Clowney, then tell me where you're going, then the decision is maybe a little clearer. But I think right now it's still all up in the air.
I'd say even if you get Clowney, you still need that other A player on the front. I mean, this idea that, I mean, we saw it. They had him this
year. Player. I think you need another player. I don't know if you need another A player. If you have that A guy, you can get a B guy or two B guys and survive. If you don't have that A guy, then you've got to go get an A guy.
Because this year, arguably, you had an A guy, and then
a couple of D's.
Yeah. I mean, I think, honestly, if you realistically grade, you know, Ziggy Ansah and LJ Collier was an F, and Ziggy was a D minus to an F. Like, I mean, you honestly put a grade on those guys. Almost no help on that other side through the course of the season.
Yeah. And you're going to go out and get bodies. Don't get me wrong. The question is, what level do I have to get? If I have Jadeveon Clowney back, I can get a B or two Bs or whatever you want to do. If I don't, I got to go out and get A guys. So, you know, that's what I mean. It determines what you do. I don't think you just re-sign him and then you go, we're okay, because they're not. They showed that last year.
Well, it's going to come down to Russell Wilson. Did you see that Gil Brandt left Russell Wilson off his most clutch list? We didn't even talk about that. Did you see that this week?
I didn't see that.
He was listing the most clutch players in the NFL. I think he went through, what was it, Kyle? 25 12. Guys? 12 guys plus
and
a bunch of honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions.
So there were 24 players listed.
No mention.
And Russell Wilson wasn't on that list. There was a guard.
Gil's been doing this a while, bro.
Brock.
Quentin Nelson was
more clutch than Russ.
Give Gil some grace.
He's Kurt, what is going on with the national media? And Russell, I mean, do we still have to fight this fight?
maybe it was all the internet memes. Maybe you got
it must be
mesmerized by that.
It's his hair.
No, I'm serious. I don't get it. I mean, if you look at it, it's funny. I think I saw a stat that he's never gotten a single vote for MVP. And if you look at, obviously the way that Lamar Jackson played this year, he was the MVP of the league. So, you know, but you put multiple guys down on your vote. And when you take a look at this, I don't know if there's a guy who's more valuable to his team, and I include Lamar Jackson in that, but more valuable to his team, that if you took that guy out, what is that team? Then Russell Wilson. I mean, he is, without him, Seahawks aren't sniffing the playoffs. And not just this year. You could say that maybe over the last several years of his career. I think he is, as much as people talk about how good he still may be the most underrated player in the league. And I truly believe that because of the value that he presents, because he always gives you a chance to win, because he always seemingly does the right thing and rarely screws up. I mean, how many times you go, well, yeah, you look at Jameis Winston, he's going to throw you 30 touchdown passes, but he's also going to throw 30 interceptions. Russell never does that thing, or rarely does that thing, I should say, that makes you go, wow, he cost our team a possession. Yeah. Wow, he cost our team a game. And also, whether you like him personally or not, he does the right thing off the field. I mean, I think there's something to be said about that at that position. So I don't get it. I really don't.
Speaking of wow, did you see Brock's face on the sideline when that guy jumped over the dude?
Hey, I was the one that pointed it out.
How about that?
That's really cool, Kurt. Appreciate that.
We ran a replay of the guy leapfrogging, Elijah Hood, the running back. And in the background, I saw Brock's face, and I hit the button to talk to our producer in the truck. And they go, we got to run that again. You'll see Brock's face. Nobody else has seen it. I mean, not that I'm a great discoverer of hidden video.
I don't know.
But, you know, you're watching the players. And so he trusted me and was like, okay, we'll run it back after this play. And he ran it back. And then we saw a nice circle of space. And then obviously the rest is history.
It sure is.
That may be the play of the XFL weekend.
Certainly the face. That's for sure. Brock's the new face of the XFL. We didn't even know that would be the case.
One funny, ugly looking face.
That's for sure.
Appreciate you bringing that to light.
All right. So, Kurt, we'll see you here this weekend, right? You're here for the game this weekend. Looking forward to that. And then I know we'll see you. Well, we're just 7 months away from preseason NFL football, so hopefully we'll see you back here.
I'll actually be doing the Dragons games the next 2 weeks in Seattle. So, if you want to give me restaurant recommendations or anything that I don't know of, I spend a lot of time there, but I'll take it.
I got a place in my basement. I got a room in the basement if you want to just come hang out. I mean, we got a spot for you. You can just live here for the week or two.
I'll be hanging out at the Hewitt at that point. So
smart man.
Damon's got some wine for me. Brock's got, spectrum.
Brock just got kids running around everywhere.
All right, well, that's what it is, yeah.
Thank you. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
What a good dude. It was really fun to be working with him again over the last weekend. And since we're already at an hour, Salk, we're going to have to save maybe story time for next Tuesday.
Some of the behind the scenes.
Yeah, I know. I gave you a couple off the air, Kyle.
Want more?
Yeah, well, you get a lot more next
face
week.
Face you
it's
made
my
was
money,
tremendous.
And I need it now.
And huh?
I mean, that should be a legit meme. The face you made.
Oh, it was. It went viral.
Did it?
Oh, it was huge.
Viral?
Oh, I mean, like viral. It was number one trending thing.
It should
in
be
America.
To the point was, where when actually. I go to my phone and like look up wow or surprised under like
true.
The little memes that pop up, yeah. It should be your face.
But on Sunday night when I Googled Brock Huard looking for XFL meme tweets,
what'd
I was
get?
Like, oh, it's going to be so good. All I got was that face.
That's
there
it?
Were no meme tweets?
The face, the meme.
No?
The
no. I mean, I didn't just look at.
Well, it's hard to be. It's hard to be that passionate like, about your team.
You weren't in the booth also.
True.
A big difference.
How was doing the sideline?
It was pretty cool, man.
You like it?
I had no idea going in. And, you know, we were talking a little bit about parenting. And this was one of those opportunities I said to my girls, you know, we challenge you guys to go out there and do new things and be courageous. And I had never done any of this. And there was no plan other than you have a lot of access and we'll kind of make it happen. But I had no experience doing that. So it was kind of cool to have a little bit of nervousness about, wow, this is totally new. And then I absolutely loved it. Like right on the field, and it was unprecedented access. So I mean, I got
to let you call some plays.
Eventually, I'll ask Zorn. I'll be in Seattle this week.
Ask him if he could call a play or two.
Yeah,
right. I mean, see if you just call the same darn play.
I love how Zorn covered his mouth with the play sheet, even right. though his mic was open. God bless him. That's my guy. So, yeah, there'll be plenty of that.
Old habits
weekend.
Die hard.
Yes, they do.
Unfortunately. All right. Well, this has been fun. We fixed quite a few things.
We did.
I think this week. Next week, we'll fix podcasts, I think, next week, and a few other things.
Oh, we
as
already
well.
Did that.
Yeah, we're going to fix podcasts. I also had a plan to fix Twitter that we didn't get to. We ran out of time. So, you know.
Well, I had fixed the Pax 12, too.
I know. Yes, yeah, so there's a lot of things to fix. You don't think we need to fix the other things?
Twitter's fine. It's thriving.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, then I see we don't even need to fix it. We're already done. We're already fixed.
Hey.
That's where the barn is. See you, everybody.
Get to the chopper!